content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book Month by Month Gardening in the Carolinas by Bob Polomsky. And we ended last time at November, and planning. And for lawns, we start a rolling stone garden gathers no moss, but expect moss to collect in the moist, shaded areas of your lawn. In addition to shady places, mosses are especially fond of acidic soils with low fertility, poor drained or wet soils, or a combination of these. These primitive, non-flowering plants spread by dust-fine spores carried on the wind that alight on moist soil, rocks, bricks, or tree trunks. The spores germinate and form a network of green threads that develop into tiny matted plants. Most grow only a quarter of an inch to 2 inches tall. Although mosses are harmless, folks either court them or hate them. I love the velvety, cushiony look and feel of moss. Mosses are cultivated as ornamentals in Japanese gardens. A famous 13th century garden in Kyoto called Seihoji, which is Moss Temple, has over 40 species and varieties of rolling green mosses spread over 4.5 acres. If you're planning to rid your garden of moss by raking it out and then reseeding, be aware that in most cases the moss will return. Only when you make the growing conditions less appealing to the moss and more favorable for the grass will you be able to halt the moss's advance. Before you choose a fight or a turf war with moss, figure out your chances of winning. If your moss-covered lawn gets less than 4 hours of sunlight a day, it will be too shady for turf grasses. You're going to lose the battle unless you can improve sunlight penetration by selectively pruning tree limbs. If you're always going to be in sufficient sunlight, your best bet is to forget about grass. If you really dislike moss, plant shade-tolerant ground cover or mulch with leaves, needles, or wood chips. Ideally, extend the mulch layer to the drip line or outermost branches of the tree. If your lawn is receiving adequate sunlight but still seems to be losing ground to moss, follow these steps to improve the health, density, and appearance of your lawn. Test your soil at least every 3 years and fertilize according to a soil test and at the proper time. Excuse me. Improve poorly drained areas by regrading to direct water away from the site. Cultivate compacted heavy clay soils with a core aerator or aerifier, a machine that removes plugs of soil. Rent, purchase, or contract this service through lawn care companies. For small areas, use a spading fork to punch holes in the soil to improve drainage. Mow grasses growing in the shade at the top of their recommended mowing height range to promote deep rooting and to leave as much leaf area as possible to manufacture food. For perennials and ornamental grasses, keep your garden looking good while nourishing birds with perennials that offer attractive leaves, stems, and seed heads. Ornamental grasses are at the top of the list with their beautiful seed heads and leaves that turn yellow, orange, red, or purple with the onset of cooler winter temperatures. For roses, plan for improvements next year. What were the most troublesome insects and diseases this season? Were there problems with the pest control measures you selected? Perhaps you need to dig out some roses and replace them early next year. Think about the roses that seem to take a licking and keep on ticking. Was it the rose itself, or could its performance be also be attributed to the growing environment? Plenty of air circulation, diligent removal of infected leaves, adequate water, and fertility. Spend some time pondering these factors along with others and document them in your journal. For shrubs, identify shrub beds and borders whose soil will have to be tested. Soil testing is best done every 2 or 3 years. Contact your cooperative extension service agent for soil testing materials. And just a note here from me, I was in garden center of the big box places. This one's Lowe's. I hate to say it, but it's Lowe's. And they have they now have soil testing kits. And they're not that expensive, and you could do it by yourself if you like. The next topic is trees. When planning to include trees in your landscape, take advantage of their winter interest. Bark, branches, and architectural forms give deciduous trees character. Look at the peeling or exfoliating bark of a wide variety of trees, such as crepe myrtle, particular Natchez and Fantasy, Japanese crepe myrtle. For vines and ground covers, throughout history, gardeners have showcased their vines on structures that ranged from the simple to the elegant, but ready-made fan-shaped or rectangular trellises at garden centers. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, plan to build your own this month after you decide on the kinds of vines you're going to support. Twining vines with long, flexible stems, hyacinth bean, morning glory, moonvine, and trumpet honeysuckle need to wrap themselves around something like a string, wire, or trellis. They climb best on narrow, vertical, oriented supports. Climbing vines that use tendrils need a support that's small enough for their thread-like fingers to grasp. Fine lattice work or a structure that includes wire, string, or plastic mesh is suitable for passion flower and sweet pea. Chicken wire can be wrapped around a freestanding pole or pillar to give the vine something to hold on to. A tripod is a simple way of mixing these climbers into borders of annuals and perennials. If you're going to be growing a heavyweight like Japanese or Chinese wisteria, be prepared to build a sturdy structure and foundation. Arbors need to have 6x6 posts set in concrete with 4x4 cross members. American wisteria isn't as heavy and doesn't require an arbor of this magnitude. And for water gardens, it is hoped that you have had an enjoyable water gardening experience that inspired you to learn more about this exciting field. Remember that many water gardeners are happy to share their experiences with you. To learn about a water gardening society in your area, speak to an aquatic nursery staff or water garden supplier. Surf the internet for water gardening information to learn about different approaches and techniques. And our next topic is planting. For annuals, set out forget-me-nots, snapdragons, pansies, sweet william, pinks, violas, and other hardy plants for flowers and leaves in winter and early spring. If you didn't sow them last month, Piedmont and Coastal Plains gardeners can go ahead and sow the seeds of calliope, foxglove, Johnny Jump-Ups, Lakespur, money plant stock, and Shirley, Iceland and California poppies. For bulbs, now is a good time to plant spring-blooming beauties such as anemones, crocus, daffodils, scillas, and snowdrops. use a timed-release bulb fertilizer at planting time. When in doubt, follow this general rule. Plant bulbs at a depth equal to 3 times the height of the bulb. Summer bulbs, which could be killed by winter freezes, should be lifted, dried, and stored, if you did not already do so last month. Divide and replant crowded dahlias after a freeze kills their top growth. Where they won't survive the winter outdoors, in zones colder than 7B, they will have to be lifted and overwintered indoors in a cool 35 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit dry place. Here's how. Cut the tops back to 6 inches. Lift out the clumps with a spading fork. Brush off the soil and turn them upside down to dry. Inspect each clump and pare away any damaged parts. Remove infested or dead tubers at the neck. Dust the tubers with sulfur to prevent rot in storage, making sure all the surfaces are coated. Store them in a ventilated crate or basket filled with peat moss. Place each tuber upside down, stacking them no more than 2 deep. Inspect them monthly and discard any rotting tubers. For edibles, plant lettuce and hardy vegetables such as beets, cabbage, and spinach in cold frames for winter or early spring crops. Grow leafy vegetables such as lettuce, Chinese cabbage, and spinach in a cold frame or beneath a row cover for harvesting all winter long. Continue enjoying fresh-picked cool weather crops as they mature. Harvest kale by picking out a few leaves from each plant. This will encourage continued production of new leaves. For lawns, install cool season sod as long as the soil isn't frozen. Postpone seeding, plugging, or sodding a warm season lawn until next spring. For perennials and ornamental grasses, continue to set out perennials in the Piedmont and coastal plain if good selections are available from garden centers. Mountain gardeners can set out or transplant no later than 4 to 6 weeks before the ground is expected to freeze. Late planting perennials will benefit from a 3 to 5 inch layer of mulch after the ground freezes to protect them from being lifted by the freezing and thawing of the soil. Start perennial seeds that need to be stratified or exposed to moist, chilling conditions. Check the seed packet for the length of cold exposure. Otherwise, they won't germinate. Plant peonies now in the Piedmont and mountains. For best results, choose a variety that blooms in early to mid-season. Peonies are long-lived, reliable, and extremely cold-hardy plants for zones 3 to 7. That produce magnificent flowers in spring and early summer and attractive compound leaves throughout the season. Plant dormant bare root herbaceous peonies so the eyes or buds on the division are covered by no more than 1.5 to 2 inches of soil. In milder areas, the eyes should be no deeper than 1.5 to 1 inch below the soil surface. Peonies planted too deeply will never bloom. Plant container-grown peonies so the top of the root ball is less than 1 inch below the soil surface. And for roses, this is a good month to plant. In the mountains, mulch with compost, shredded bark, or shredded leaves soon after planting to keep the ground thawed so roots can become established. Water them thoroughly and mulch to keep them from freezing. For shrubs, got a shrub that's too big for its britches? Move it. And for trees, fall is the best time of year for moving trees. To ensure success, transplant trees when they're dormant. Where circumstances necessitate very late planting of trees, remember to mulch the area heavily to keep the ground thawed so roots can become established. Planning on having a live bald and burlap Christmas tree? Then dig a planting hole now before the ground freezes in the mountains. Fill the hole with straw or hay to keep it from freezing. Store the soil in a garbage or garage or shed so you will have workable soil when you need it for planting the tree. And now we have for care for annuals. Clean up the garden, remove spent plants, chop them up and compost them. Add organic matter to beds. Either shred leaves and use them as mulch or compost them to improve soil. Cover the ground with mulch to prevent soil loss. For bulbs, mulch plantings with compost, pine straw, or salt hay to protect tender and semi-hardy bulbs from the winter cold. Clean up and remove old dried iris leaves, stems, and other debris in the fall to help eliminate overwintering eggs or iris borers. For edibles, a light mulch of shredded leaves or straw on carrots, turnips, and other root vegetables will help protect against freezing. Pick tomatoes when frost is predicted and store in a single layer in a cool location. Harvest broccoli while the heads are still compact. Tie the leaves around cauliflower heads to blanch the curds. For perennials and ornamental grasses, there's still time to dig, divide, and replant crowded perennials. Look for perennials that have grown out of bounds or have declined due to overcrowding and have developed a ring of growth with an empty center. Divide peonies when the leaves die back. Reduce peony botrytis blight and powdery mildew on bee balm and phlox by trimming away and disposing of old dead stems. Avoid pruning monches, aster, ferns, salvias, mums, and other marginally hardy plants so the crowns will be insulated during cold weather. Prune them when new growth emerges in the spring. Plants such as leadwort that also emerge late in the spring should not be pruned. The old stems and leaves will let you know where they are so you won't damage them by dinging. For roses, if you haven't done so already, have a soil test done of your rose bed at least every 2 or 3 years. Have your soil tested through your cooperative extension service to determine soil pH and fertility levels. Shrubs, trees, vines, and undercovers, limit any pruning to the removal of diseased, damaged, or broken branches. Wait until after the coldest part of winter has passed next year before pruning summer flowering shrubs and trees. For shrubs and trees, rake up and compost fallen leaves and fruit around shrubs because this litter offers overwintering places for insects and diseases. Broad-leaved and tender evergreens exposed to drying winds and sun may need to be shaded on the south and southwest sides to reduce moisture loss and leaf injury. Enclose your evergreens in these exposed locations with a burlap screen. Protect tender palms with tall, solitary trunks during the winter by tying up their leaves and wrapping the trunks with insulating blankets. Small specimens can be enclosed in a wire circle and buried with pine straw. Check guy wires around newly planted trees to be sure hose sections will cover the supporting wires or ropes so they will not damage the trunks in windy weather. Mulch plantings to protect against winter cover. For vines and ground cover, don't hesitate to tie uncooperative vines in place with twine or twist ties. This will help your clematis, climbing hydrangea, and Confederate jasmine find their way across arbors. And watering. For annuals, if the month is dry, water newly planted transplants. For bulbs, check potted bulbs that will be forced during the winter months. Bulbs stored outdoors in cold frames or in the ground may need to be watered. Water newly planted bulbs to encourage rooting before cooler temperatures arrive. For lawns, do not allow newly sodded cool season lawns to dry out. When the sod is knitted or rooted into the soil, reduce the frequency of irrigation and water deeply as the roots begin to penetrate the soil. Dormant, warm season lawns may need to be watered to prevent them from drying out, especially when warm, windy weather prevails. Water warm season lawns overseeded with ryegrass as needed. For perennials and ornamental grasses and roses, keep newly planted transplants well watered to help them get established. As cold weather sets in, reduce water but do not allow roses, especially those that have recently been planted, to dry out completely. Plants need water during dry spells, even during the winter months. And for shrubs, trees, and vines and ground covers, fall is usually dry in the Carolinas, so don't rely on Mother Nature to water new plantings. A few weeks after planting, start cutting back on watering to every few days or longer, especially with cloudy, rainy, or cool weather. Eventually water on a weekly or as needed basis, testing the soil and root ball for moisture. Established plants, especially evergreens, should be watered during the winter months so they won't go into the winter on the dry side. If fall rains have been scarce in the mountains where the ground freezes, keep broadleaf evergreens such as hollies and rhododendrons well watered. Give them a deep watering once every 2 weeks. Evergreens continue to lose moisture from their leaves all winter, but once the ground is frozen, they'll be unable to take up enough water to replace it. Sending them into winter well-watered reduces the potential for damaged foliage. And fertilizing. For annuals, if you don't incorporate a slow-release fertilizer last month at planting, lightly fertilize with a liquid fertilizer such as 20-20-20 now. For bulbs, fertilize new and established beds with a slow-release nitrogen fertilizer. Don't wait until spring because the bulbs are producing roots and foraging for nutrients now. For lawns, fertilize Kentucky bluegrass, tall fescue, and dormant overseeded Bermuda grass and zoysia grass lawns according to the results of a soil test. Fertilizing in the fall promotes root development without excessive top growth. With a strong root system, your lawn will be better able to withstand drought conditions next summer. Do not apply a fertilizer containing phosphorus and potassium if adequate levels are already present in the soil. For perennials and ornamental grasses, roses, shrubs, trees, and vines, and ground cover, do not fertilize at this time of the year. If vines and ground covers have already filled in their allotted space and have grown vigorously this past year, fertilizer may not be necessary. In fact, it can result in a lot of excess jungle-like growth that would have to be removed by machete. And our next topic is problem solve. For bulbs, some bulbs resist attacks by squirrels, chipmunks, voles, and their kind. In addition to the popular choices of daffodils and colchicums, you have several other choices. Common hyacinth, glory of the snow, Tommy's, crown imperial, dogtooth violet, grape hyacinth, Grecian wildflower, spring starflower, snow iris, Ixiolyrian ornamental onions, star of Bethlehem, Pushkini, Scilla, snowdrop, snowflake, Spanish bluebell, and winter aconite all resist attack. Be mindful, however, that extremely hungry animals will eat almost anything. And for lawns, rust and dollar spot are fungal diseases that attack bluegrass and fescue lawns. Rust causes grass leaves to turn yellow before turning brown and dying. Take a close look at the leaves for red, orange, or brown spores. Heavy infestations cause thinning. Many grass varieties have good to moderate levels of resistance to rust, so this disease shouldn't be much of a problem. Avoid keeping the grass wet for long periods of watering in the early morning. Dollar spot produces small circular areas of straw-colored grass, which range from 1 to 6 inches across. If you examine the individual grass blades, you'll find straw-colored lesions with reddish-brown borders. Dollar spot is more common during the spring and fall months. Maintain adequate levels of fertility, especially nitrogen, because this disease favors hungry lawns. Fungicides are generally unnecessary. Large patch is a devastating disease, especially on St. Augustine grass in the fall. Look for circular brown dead patches in the lawn. Take a close look at the infected grass plants at the edge of the dead area, and you'll find rotting leaf sheaths near the crowns at the soil's surface. Rake up dead areas and remove the infected grass. Reduce the occurrence of this disease by not over-fertilizing in the fall or spring when the disease is likely to appear. Treat wild garlic with a broadleaf herbicide when the air temperature is above 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Hand pull wild garlic when the soil is moist to remove the entire plant bulb and all. To leave the bulb behind, it will resprout. Pull young, emerged weeds now while the task is easier and the weather is comfortable. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time, and we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anadine Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. And I hope you'll join us again for our next podcast. Thank you.